risen. He has risen indeed. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, April 21st, 2025. I pray, I hope, I trust your Easter Sunday, your Resurrection Sunday, was filled with hope, encouragement, and blessing. And today on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, you're going to hear yesterday's message as preached by Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church, as he encourages us to be set free from bondage and wants us to learn that the freedom Jesus offers is a free gift that we can't earn. It was a price paid by his death. Here's Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church.
Happy Easter, y'all. Happy Easter. Y'all, you should be more excited about that. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Yeah, it's our weekend. I love lots of weekends. I like weekends. I like Masters weekend. I like it. I like it. I like Super Bowl Sunday. It's a good one. I like the Final Four weekend. I like Mother's Day because I totally love you moms. I love Father's Day. There's lots of weekends I love. There's no weekend in a year that I love more than this one. And this is why. Here's the deal. In my like mind and in my heart and in my life, I wake up every single day because this weekend happened. Like, it's the weekend that changed everything. Like, if you think about this weekend called Easter weekend, what happened in this is this moment was this. There was two things in this world that I couldn't defeat. There's two things in this world that you can't defeat. And I don't know about you, but I like to win. Even if I'm playing Monopoly with the kids, I'm going to rub their face in the dirt to win. Like, I want to win, right? But there's two things in this world that I can't beat. There's two things in this world that you can't beat. And the first is sin. Like, I'm telling you, no matter how hard I try, I am super selfish. Like, no matter how hard I try, I do dumb things. Like, whether it's in my past, whether it's in my present, I promise you in my future, I'm going to continue to make mistakes. Like, I can't defeat sin. Sin is undefeated with me. Like, it constantly beats me. But the truth is, this weekend, we celebrate the moment in time that Jesus went to a cross. And when he went to that cross, he took your sin and my sin, your shame and my shame, your abuse and my abuse, your pain and my pain, your sin. Like, he took all those things on the cross. And when he died, when his blood dropped to the ground, it was this grace bomb that went off from that point all the way to creation, all the way to the moment he comes back riding on a horse and all tatted up for glory. Like, everything in that moment, y'all, was covered. That's worth getting excited about. Like, the fact that sin's been defeated, and I have a hashtag, and it's called winning, right? Like, we've won. Sin's been defeated. The second thing that I can't beat, and you can't beat either. You can try real hard. You can eat real healthy. You can do your infrared saunas and your cold tub plunges. You can go on for 5 hours of walking every day. You can do any, like, listen to me. At some point, you won't die. Me too. That's not that sad, actually. I said death, and you're like, oh. Like, it's going to happen. There's going to be a moment when my eyes close, and guess what? They're going to put me in the dirt. They're going to kick dirt on my face. They're going to go back to the church and have potato salad, hot wings, and a lot of other stuff. And they're going, oh, he wasn't that bad a guy. Like, it's going to happen, right? That's going to happen for all of us. But guess what? When my eyes close and your eyes close, and the friends that you've lost and the friends that I've lost, the family you've lost, the siblings you've lost, the kids you've lost, the parents you've lost, the spouses you've lost, hear me say that. When their eyes closed because of this weekend, bam, they're with Jesus, y'all. They don't experience death. He beat death. Like, y'all, it's a big deal. And so with all these things happen, the interesting thing is, if that is true, if the fear of death is gone, the curse of sin is gone, then why are we so sad? Then why do we still struggle so much? You with me? Why do we experience so much hopelessness when our hope is alive and he reigns? You know, when I say Easter, I don't know what pops into your brain. When I hear Easter, sometimes I think about those early mornings, waking up and heading to a church to watch a bunch of older people on a stage with choir robes and someone dressed as a soldier and some white dude pretending to be Jesus on a cross and some dude bending over, and when he bends over to nail Jesus' thing, it's like, oh, brother shouldn't have worn boxer shorts. Like, that's what I think of when I think Easter. Or when you think Easter, you might think the morning you had to get up real early in the morning and you headed to out in this middle of this field and you walk through tall grass in the middle of the field and it was super wet and you got a coat on and you're walking out there as a kid and you're looking at these three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. But the reality is you're looking at that and all of a sudden your feet are wet, you're cold, and you're singing the old rugged cross. And then as soon as the sun comes up, you're like, victory in Jesus. Like, you remember your traditions at Easter. You remember when, like, you remember the moment when your parents or whoever, your grandma or your aunt or your uncle put all the eggs all over the yard and you went around trying to get the jelly beans or the chocolate eggs or the, like, Easter baskets. I don't know what you, but you remember that about Easter. You remember the moment, man, I remember that moment when that church brought that helicopter in and dropped Easter eggs from the sky. It was crazy. Like, I don't know what you remember about Easter, but the one thing you need to remember about Easter is this: death is conquered, sin is covered. Family, that's what matters. I love your traditions, Mom. I love your traditions, Dad. I love your traditions, Grandma and Grandpa. They're great. They are. But your traditions don't raise you from the dead. Your traditions don't cover your sin. They don't. Today in this passage, you're going to see the people in the world that were the closest to Jesus. Like his disciples, his apostles, these women, these men, they walked with Jesus. Listen to me. For 3 straight years, they walked and talked with Jesus. For 3 straight years, they like fist bumped Jesus. Boom. For 3 straight years, they would hug. Like, come here, give me a hug. Like, they hugged. Like, they hugged Jesus. Like, they touched him. They fist bumped him. They talked with him. They walked with him. They ate with him. They watched him raise Lazarus from the dead. They saw him walk on water. They saw him feed 5,000 people. Like, Jesus, like, they saw all those things, y'all. They were that close to him. But the moment he went to the cross and the moment he was captured, what happened? They ran, they fled, and they felt hopeless. And they had heard he was going to die. They had heard he was going to rise from the dead, but they still felt hopeless. Why is that? Well, just like them and just like us, when you look for Jesus for what you can get from him, you don't see him for who he is. Like, here's an example. Like, when Jesus feeds the 5,000 people, he feeds 5,000 people. When he feeds 5,000 people, the next day, guess what everyone does? They show up for more food. It's like, Jesus, at Ryan's Steakhouse, we can go 2 days in a row. Like, you got more food for us. And what does Jesus say? He's like, y'all, why do you want crumbs from a table? Like, I can give you bread if you need bread, but like, I'm the bread of life. Like, you are in my presence, and what you need to find grace, what you need to find life, what you need to find purpose, what you need to find hope is me. It's not in a piece of bread. It's a Samaritan woman that they're talking about water, and she's like wanting a drink of water. And he's like, listen, like, I'm living water. Like, you can drink from me and never be thirsty again. It's Jesus when he heals a lame beggar and there's this pool of water. This man who cannot walk is looking at this pool of water, and he looks at this pool of water, and guess what? He wants to get in and he wants to get in, but then Jesus walks in and his brother looks at Jesus and Jesus looks at him and Jesus is like, bro, you want to walk? He's like, yeah, I do want to walk. He's like, well, then stand up. He's like, okay. And Jesus heals him on the spot. He grabs his mat. He walks away. And as he heals this person, then this person walks into the temple. And the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all the people that knew, hear me say this, they knew about God. They knew God's stats. You tracking? They look at this dude and they're like, what happened? He's like, well, Jesus healed me. And like, he healed you on the Sabbath? Then they come to Jesus and they say, why would you heal someone on the Sabbath? What was Jesus' answer? Man, if you're asking me that question, you don't know God. Like, do you know my Father desires mercy, not sacrifice? Like, my Father, he wants people to be healed. He wants to heal you, not hurt you. Family, all of us in this place, at times we look through the lens and it's so dirty, we don't really see him for who he is. Our prayer today, my prayer today for you, is that, man, we can see Jesus. We can see that death is conquered. We can see that sin is covered. But when you leave this place today, your heart and your mind know him. Father, I just want to ask right now that you transform this place into your people. We love you. We trust you. We need you. And God, we're asking you remove the sin from our eyes. You remove the selfishness from our eyes. You remove the darkness from our eyes and allow us just to see you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. But on the first day of the week, you're thinking, that's the intro? We got brunch. You better hurry. That's what you're thinking. But on the first day of the week, Easter, that's today. That's Sunday, y'all. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, should they have been shocked at this moment? No, because Jesus had told all of them this was going to happen. What in your life shocks you that he's told you will happen? Or what in your life do you question that he's told you going to happen? Or what do you get angry at him for and he never told you it would happen? While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee." Did you hear this? He told them, listen, he told them. Well, then in this passage, why was everyone so hopeless if he said this is what's going to happen? Why are we so hopeless when we know what's going to happen? That the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful man, be crucified, and on the third day rise. Y'all, that's something that's crazy that they forgot that. But you know why they forgot it? He said it multiple times, right, in Scripture. We've studied this before. And if you haven't studied it, hear me say this. When Jesus was with them for 3 years, he told them this day was coming. But what he also talked about was the kingdom of God. What he also talked about was how he was going to reign on high. And what they did is they held on to the things that made them happy and let go of the things they didn't understand. It's like in a conversation you have with someone, and they say 10 things, and you remember the one thing that excites you, and you forget the other 9, right? We do that. My prayer today for you and my prayer for me today is this. If in your life and in my life, we can't see Jesus when all we do is look at ourselves. So my prayer for us today is, and it's not that you don't look good. You look good, y'all, in your pastels. You look good. It's not about that. It's about this. Like, you were created in his image to be his image bearer. The reason why you walk through your life and I walk through my life feeling unfulfilled is because I don't look enough at him to know who I'm supposed to be. This isn't a spanking. This is y'all. He is offering you something. And the reason they didn't hear him either is the same reason. But then this happens. And then the ladies remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. So what happens? In the moment they see the empty tomb, in the moment they see the angels, what is the response of the ladies? Don't miss this, ladies. This is like hallelujah, ladies moment, right? This is the passage they should teach at every women's conference for like girl power. Because the ladies, they got it right away. They saw it right away. They knew this right away. They were looking at Jesus right away. When the tomb was empty and the angel said it, they believed. Some of you in this room, because see, you're going to identify with one of these three groups of people. And the first group is the ladies. They believed because they believed. It was in them to believe. Some of you believe in Jesus because you just do. It's just in you. Praise God. And in that moment, they have hope. They know that grace is found and they know that hope is alive. They know that death has been conquered and they're so excited. So what do these ladies do? They do what you would do and what I do when I find Jesus, when I'm excited about Jesus, I want to go do what? I want to go tell somebody. And that's what they do. So they ran and told the apostles, but these words seemed to them to be idle tale. And these apostles, these disciples, these brothers, they didn't believe him. I don't know how many times someone finds Jesus and they're so excited about him. You with me? And they want to go tell the people they love about what real love is. They want to go tell the people that they love what real hope is. And when they do, they're met with what sometimes? Opposition. They're met with, well, I asked Jesus to do this for me and he didn't, so I just don't believe in him anymore. All right. I just see there's so much pain in this world. How could there be a God? And you look at him like, but he's in the pain so we don't have to experience it forever. Do you still struggle? No, I'm good now. I'm not sick anymore. So because Jesus didn't do it at the exact moment you wanted to, you don't believe in him anymore? Yeah. Wow, who's king? Family, in my life, you guys know how hyped I get about Jesus. But in my hope, sometimes I feel hopeless when people I love don't see Jesus for who he is. But even in my hopelessness, when I look at other people, I have to remember that my hope is alive. And Jesus has to open up their eyes just like he opened up mine. The next person in this passage that you might identify with in the room is this. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. So Peter was listening. Peter's like, what? I got to check this out. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. We also know that John ran with him. How do we know that? John wrote the book of John. And John, when John tells the story, he's like, Peter and I ran to the tomb and I whipped him. He literally says it. He's like, Peter, little chunky. I'm faster than him. He didn't say that part. But the reality is he tells him that he beat Peter to the tomb. And so he goes to the tomb, and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Why did Peter run to the tomb and the other disciples didn't? See, the reason the other disciples didn't is they were caught up in the trauma of the moment. Hear me say this. I'm not making excuses. I'm just telling you how we think. When something really hard happens, when you lose your purpose, when you lose your identity, when you make mistakes, there's two ways you react. You focus on your mistakes and you focus on your pain and you focus on your trauma and nothing outside of it. It's like when you try to console someone that's in that moment, how do they respond? They don't even know how to respond because all they're doing is living and they're reliving their trauma. Well, Peter in this moment, what did Peter just do? Peter had just looked Jesus in the eyes. He had just looked Jesus in the eyes as being beaten and said, I don't know him. Three times. He betrayed him. He denied him. And his whole purpose for living was to love this dude and protect this dude. And he couldn't protect him and he didn't love him. And so Peter reached this moment in life that lots of us in this room have reached. And here's the moment. Are you ready to hear it? He hit rock bottom. Like, he had nowhere else to go except for to quit and live in the mess or run after Jesus. And Peter ran. And as soon as Peter sees Jesus, everything changes. Do you guys know that about 30 years later, for the next 30 years of Peter's life, he preached, he taught, he loved, he served. Brother didn't deny him anymore. To the point of Peter's life ended, most historians write, being hung upside down on a cross and being crucified upside down because he didn't want to die the same way the Savior died because he didn't think he deserved it. 10 of these 11 dudes that didn't know in this moment, that couldn't believe because their trauma was so great, 10 of these 11 dudes right here in this passage, 10 of the 11 were sawed in two, thrown off of buildings, stoned to death, and killed for their faith. See, this weekend, this Easter weekend, it changes everything. It gives us the hope to know there's something greater in this world than me and than you. Man, my prayer is that you don't have to hit rock bottom to run after him. My prayer today is we can all open up our eyes and recognize he's here to heal us, not to hurt us. He's here to give you purpose, not to oppress you. His ways set you free. They don't hold you back. The passage then goes on, and I'm not going to read this part, but then some of the other disciples walk down this road. It's called the Road to Emmaus. Now, the Road to Emmaus was about a 7-mile walk that would have taken about 2.5 hours. So on this 7-mile walk, Jesus shows up on the walk. And it tells us in this passage, Jesus showed up on the walk next to these disciples, these dudes that knew him really well, the dudes that experienced the trauma of the cross, these dudes that experienced the trauma of all these moments, these dudes that denied, that ran, that scattered, like they experienced all these things. And on this road, what did they do? They do what we do. They express their trauma. They just poured themselves out. It's like, man, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened. And Jesus is just like, if anybody knows about what happened, who knows? Jesus knows. So Jesus is walking with him, and this is what he does. Hear me say this, family. He listens. Do you know what I would have done? I've been like, fellas, it's me. Like, stop talking. I've heard enough. That's like me and my flesh. That's what I would do. But Jesus actually knows how to heal your heart. Hear me say that. He knows how to heal your heart. He knows how to help you wipe this thing away from your eyes. And sometimes what you and I need to do is talk it out. And so they express their pain, they express their trauma, they express their abandonment, they express their isolation, they express their rejection, they express their confusion. And as they express all these things, eventually Jesus does something in this moment. And this is what he does. It tells us in the passage, well, then he opens up God's word and he tells them the truth. See, just to talk about your trauma doesn't bring healing. Healing comes when you talk about your trauma and realize Jesus never left you. See, Jesus is the centerpiece of your beauty, and he's the centerpiece of your ashes. He's what brings you out of both. And Jesus then told them who he was. And still, they don't really know who he is. And then he goes into their house, he breaks bread, he has wine, and when he does it, it says their eyes are opened to see Jesus in his fullness. Hey, family, today, some of you in this room are so caught up in you. And hear me say this, I'm not judging you. I've been there too. And what you need to do is to get it out. You got to talk to him and recognize that he was with you in your darkest moment and he loves you. And he's with you in your brightest moment and he loves you. But that grace and that life is for you and for me. I don't know which of these three groups you identify with, whether you believe because you believe and you find hopelessness because no one else does. I don't know if it's you've hit rock bottom and now you're chasing after Jesus, or you're at rock bottom right now and you don't know where to turn. Hear me say this. turn towards him. Or if right now you're just hurting so bad, all you know is hurt, then get that hurt out and allow the great physician to bring some healing. There's another story I want to tell you about that happens right before Jesus goes to the cross. And what happens right before he goes to the cross is he's sitting in this room, I think it's probably on a Thursday before the Friday of the cross, and a woman walks in, and when this woman walks in, I believe it's Mary. We're not positive, but I believe it's Mary. Mary walks in, and she has this massive jar of super, super expensive perfume. And she walks in with this jar of super, super expensive perfume, and she walks up to Jesus, and she gets on her knees, and she's weeping, and she literally pours the whole jar of perfume out all over Jesus' feet. And when she does it, the whole room, like imagine a massive jar of super expensive perfume in a small room with a bunch of dudes and a bunch of women. And as she pours that out, the room's like, whoa, what is going on? And she starts wiping his feet. And everyone in the room is frustrated with her. Everyone in the room doesn't know what to say. Judas says, hey, Mary, what are you doing? Don't you know that we could have sold that and fed the poor? Don't you know we could have sold that and bought food? Don't you know we could have done this? And everyone's in the room is confused. Like, why would Mary pour this out? Like, what was this for Mary? This is probably what it was for Mary. We don't know for sure. But if Mary used to live her life as a woman of the night, then when different men came into her place, she would have covered the scent of the man with different perfume. All of her past, all of her resources, all of whatever would have went into that jar. And when Mary fell on her face and she poured that out, what she's saying is, all of my past and all of my future, I lay at your feet, Jesus. And Jesus looks at the disciples and he's like, y'all don't see me. And then I can just imagine him grabbing her face and saying, you see me. Hey, family, this Easter, it's time for us to pour out our past. We sang a song, but when we sang that song, it says that I was busy tending a grave. There was a moment in my life, y'all, when I gave my life to Christ. It was a long time ago. It really was. I gave my life to Christ, and in that moment, he set me free. His grace covered my sin. His grace covered my stupid. From this point to the future, like, he saved me in that moment. And because he rose from the dead and I put my trust in him, in that moment in my life, when I was just a teenager, I was saved by grace and had heaven to look forward to. But then from that point on, this is what I did. I just played in the dirt by the grave. I just overturned things all the time. Even though I was forgiven, every time I heard the word sin, I reminded myself of something God had taken. Every time I overturned this identity that I found in sports, or I found in successes, or I found in my failures, I was playing in the dirt of my past. I was playing in the dirt of my pain. I was playing in this dirt of past addictions. I was playing in the dirt of sin. I was playing in the dirt of isolation. I was playing in the dirt of wanting to please people. I was playing in the dirt of like this idea of greed. And like, I'm just telling, like, I played in the dirt for so long. Y'all, I was saved. I knew who he was. I loved him. I would preach sermons. I would tuck my kids into bed at night. I'd get on my knees and I'd pray for them. But then I'd go back and I would just work the dirt around the grave. And I'm telling you right now, what Jesus did in my life and what he's doing in my life is he said, Jason, you got to pour all of you out. Like, I want all of your past. I want all of your present. I want all of your future. And in that moment, I stopped tending a grave and I started walking in life. And that's what he has for you. Like, that's the opportunity you have. Yes, heaven is in front of us and it's going to be awesome, but heaven can start right now. That's the beauty of the cross. It's the beauty of life. And like, from a fatherly perspective, could you imagine your kids being set free from bondage and set free from sickness, set free from pain, but still not willing to enjoy life? I see it all the time with injuries, with athletes. They're healed. They're good, but in their brain, they don't feel like they're healed. And so they still don't do it. And they feel a lack of purpose. They feel a lack of community. They feel like they just can't because of what happened. He reigns. He's alive. And he wants you and wants me to walk away from the things he's conquered versus playing in the dirt. He wants you to stop eating the crumbs that fall from the table and experience the wholeness of Jesus. He wants you to drink the good stuff, y'all. Not sip no stanky water no more. He is offering you a life. It still doesn't mean it won't be hard at times, but hard with Jesus is better than successful without him. And that's what he offers this Easter. That's my prayer for us. For some of you in this room, you've like never said yes to Jesus. Like, You've never said, no, I need this thing called grace, and I want this thing called life. And if that is you today, then my prayer is this. Man, there is nothing greater than knowing your sins are gone and that death is conquered. And for some of you in this room, you've made that decision, and you're here because you love Jesus. But the truth is you feel completely unfulfilled. You feel like you don't have purpose. You, generally speaking, are frustrated, or you are literally annoyed by people all the time. And it's because you're viewing the world through the lens of you. And Jesus wants to set you free from yourself. He's already taken your sin, y'all. He's taken death. The rest of your life, the journey is the removal of us so we can experience the freedom that he offers.
That freedom he offers is a free gift that you can't earn. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you. He cares for you. He died for your sins, for my sins, and he doesn't want us playing in the dirt. Stop tending the grave. Heaven can start now. Be set free from your bondage. Jesus wants to set you free from yourself. You were hearing yesterday's message by Pastor Jason Epperson of the CU Church. And he and we proclaim he has risen. He has risen indeed. May you live out this truth by encouraging others with the good news message of Jesus. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.